Good morning, good morning, good morning. When I was asked to talk about suffering, I'm going to be honest with y'all, I was like, no. It is not a topic that I don't think anybody truly wants to talk about, anybody truly wants to experience or walk through. But the reality is, my story is marked by suffering. That is the story that the Lord wrote for me. And so a little bit about me is I became a believer about 6 years ago, April 2015. About a month later, I was faced with the loss of a loved one. About a year later, I was then met with another loss of a loved one. And then 2 months later, another loss of a loved one. And then a month later, another loss of a loved one. And then 2 months later, another loss of a loved one. And so all throughout my 6 years of being a believer, I have walked through 12 losses altogether of people significantly close to me. I'm not talking about like a friend, a coworker. I'm immediate family members is what I'm talking about. And so through that, I've got the opportunity to lead in Grief Share, which is our grief recovery ministry here at Watermark. I've just got to over and over again give over my loss to the Lord, and he's got to just show me that he shows up in it. And through that, I respond by getting the opportunity to share that with others, how he shows up in the midst of suffering, how we can suffer well, even if it's hard. And so your suffering might not look like mine. Mine is mostly related to loss of loved ones. Yours might deal with infertility. You might have tried and tried and tried again, and you're unable to conceive. Yours might look like a broken marriage, a marriage just falling apart, and you are trying and you're pleading and you're praying, and it just seems like nothing is happening. It might be a child that is just far away from you and maybe even far away from God. And because of that, it is just creating turmoil within your life. It could be a loss of a job, financial stress. COVID has brought a lot of just different things for us to experience over this last year. And so yours could be COVID related. You could have watched people suffer through COVID, or you could have been directly impacted by the loneliness that came with COVID. Man, it could be conflict within a relationship. I think sometimes we think of suffering and we think of these things in our minds that we would say are big, but suffering isn't only marked by things that we would frame as big. It could be small things that we also are experiencing. And I wouldn't even call them small. They're just things that cause stress on us, things that cause turmoil and pain and hurt. And so you might think of just your health. You're fearful of your health because you've saw other people struggle through their health. It could be a lack of sleep, restless nights. You've been trying to get sleep, and that could be you're up at night with anxious thoughts, or maybe you have a newborn, and they just keep crying. They might have colic, and they have not stopped crying, and you are pleading with the Lord for rest. Man, suffering comes in different forms. But we all suffer in different ways. And so as I talk today, you'll hear me use the word trouble. You'll hear me use the word suffering. You might hear me use the word grief. I'm using hardship. I'm using those interchangeably. And I want you to recognize that because, like I said, suffering can just look different depending on where the Lord has you. All right? And so, man, what do you do in the midst of suffering? How do you suffer well? What do you do when things are hard? And I think one of the things we can do, or I know one of the things we can do, is we can lament. And so oftentimes when things are hard, I don't know about you, but I like to turn to the Psalms. And it's really cool because about a third of the Psalms are laments. And so you might be asking me, well, what is a lament? A lament is a crying out in grief, an expression of sorrow, to mourn aloud. I'm going to say that one more time. a crying out in grief, an expression of sorrow, and a mourning aloud. And it's so comforting to know that in our Bibles, the Lord gave us not only the Psalms, he also gave us some other books that have laments in them, but he gave us so many laments that we could turn to and recognize that we can cry out to him in the midst of our suffering. And so a lament typically will follow a structure of the psalmist will start with addressing God and then move into presenting a complaint to the Lord, and then third going into an affirmation or a proclamation of trust in God, and then a praise to God. And so one of the psalms that follows this, that is a lament and an individual lament, is Psalm 43. And so as I read it to you, I want you to listen to for those four things that I just mentioned. Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against the unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre. O God, my God, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why does so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And so that's a really common, somewhat format of a lament. It really does, at the end, it turns to a praise to God. There's a recognition and a proclamation of who God is. But what happens if you can't turn to a song of praise in the midst of your suffering? What happens? Is that okay? I think more often than not, in the midst of suffering, it becomes really hard to praise God. So what if you're struggling to sing a song of praise like the psalmist did? What if you've been in the midst of the situation for so long that it's becoming harder and harder and harder to praise his name and to believe he is good? What if you're struggling to lament the way that psalmist in Psalm 42 did? Or excuse me, 43. Does this make you a bad Christian? Does it mean God is upset with you? No, it doesn't. Even when we cry out to God in the midst of suffering and we cannot turn to praise, he does not reject us. He accepts our cries, even if they're not done perfectly, even if they don't follow that format. He still listens. He still cares. He still shows up. It doesn't define us. How can we know this? Well, God, in his kindness, gave us Psalm 88, which is a lament that doesn't follow that format. It doesn't end in a turn to praise. It doesn't have a proclamation of God being good. And so, over the next few minutes, we're going to take a look at Psalm 88. And I'm going to share with you some overall observations that I made about the overall passage. And so I know you might be used to like going line by line and having all this structure, but instead I'm going to do it a little bit differently. We're going to read the psalm all together, and then I'm going to share with you overall observations from the passage. Okay, so we're going to do a little bit of jumping just in case you try to track and you're like, ah. And so we're going to learn three things. One, it's okay to be honest about how you're feeling in the midst of suffering. Two, it's okay to ask God questions in the midst of suffering and even outside of suffering also. And three, it's okay to pray for your request over and over and over and over again. And so open your Bibles with me to Psalm 88. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night, I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry out to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth, I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long, they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. Y'all, that's weighty. That's heavy. Even in reading it, it is just heavy. But that's oftentimes what suffering feels like and even looks like. Just hard, heavy, and weighty. And so one of the first observations that I made as I got to just dig into this passage of scripture that a sweet friend of mine named Caroline, I know that sounds funny when I say that now. Sorry. welcome. She shared it with me as I was just going throughout the last year of my life. And man, I didn't expect to read that when she sent it to me. But one of the observations that I made was that the psalmist shared their feelings. So verse 3 and 7, overwhelmed with trouble and waves, eyes dim with grief, we see in verse 9, like tears and tired is what I think of when I hear eyes dim with grief, so heavy from all the tears that you've cried that you can barely open them, they're bloodshot red. Rejected in verse 14. Despairing, destroyed, engulfed, alone. Man, these are things that, if we're honest with ourselves, we've all felt probably in some way, shape, or form. But the psalmist shares them in his cry out to the Lord. And man, we can be comforted through this, knowing it's okay to be honest about how we're feeling about our current circumstances, about our current suffering. It's okay. Why? Because God isn't afraid of our feelings. He's not afraid of our feelings. He doesn't run away from you because you're feeling sad or you're feeling mad. I'm capable of feeling real angry about circumstances or bitter about circumstances. He doesn't run away when I'm like, oh God, this is ridiculous. This absolutely sucks. He doesn't scare by that. Instead, he leans in closer and continues to be who he is, which is a loving father, a compassionate God, kind, gentle, providing us with comfort because he is the ultimate comforter. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit, says Psalm 34:18. He is close to the brokenhearted. And so as I cry out in despair, brokenhearted about my suffering, or you cry out in despair about your suffering, He draws near. He doesn't run away. He's not afraid of it. And I know sometimes in the midst of suffering, we have some friends that might be trying to comfort us, but then we also have some friends that might not show up. God is neither one of those. He shows up in a perfect way, each and every time. How sweet. How sweet. That we can be honest about our feelings with him and he still show up. And I think about last year, May, got an unexpected phone call that my grandma had passed away. And then as I navigated through the months following, I thought I was grieving really well. I had done it before. I had done it time and time before. I went to grief share. I knew all the steps. And then the end of November came, and my grandpa passed away. And as I sat after I had got that phone call, I realized I had not grieved at all. I had not been suffering well. I had bottled up all my emotions. I wasn't, when my community group, or which is just a close group of friends, that I get to meet with on a regular basis and just share my life with. When they would ask me how I was doing, I would oftentimes say I was okay, I was doing all right. I think God's got me. But in that moment, I recognized that I had been self-sustaining. I had been running. I didn't want to feel the emotions because I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be suffering yet again in regards to another loss of a loved one. But God in his kindness gave me his provision of a community of people that love me and care about me, that would ask me questions such as, hey, Leslie, how are you really feeling? You keep saying you're okay, but how are you really feeling? And they kept poking and poking, and finally I burst. And the sweet sense of relief that came over me was nothing but a gift from God. And so over the next couple of weeks, I took time off to be still. I tried to journal every day about where I was at, what I was actually feeling, which is super hard for me. I tend to run from them, like I said before. I used what, there's an app called Soul Time, and it has like a feeling chart, and you can feel, you can enter how you're feeling about yourself, how you're feeling about others, and how you're feeling about God. I used that to help me because I wouldn't oftentimes be able to verbalize like what I was feeling because I didn't know. And that was helpful so that then I could be able to communicate not only to God, but then also to others. And so, do you oftentimes pretend that everything is okay in the midst of your suffering? Despite your internal feeling showing otherwise? Or are you honest with yourself and God and others about where you're at and how you're feeling and what your thoughts are in relation to those feelings? I think sometimes we can be a bit of both. But guess what, guys, or gals, or ladies? It's okay to be honest with God and others about how you're feeling in the midst of your suffering. So be comforted in knowing that God gave us a psalm that shows us that. And so if it's okay to be honest about my feelings with God, is it okay to be honest and ask God questions I have in the midst of my suffering? I think the answer is yes. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness and destruction? Are your wonders known in the places of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? Do you, do there, is your, are your, why, Lord? One more time. Do you, do there, is your, are your, why, Lord? I know that in the midst of my suffering, I oftentimes have questions. Why me? Why now? Why this? How come? why not this way? But I thought this, and so why this? I don't think I'm alone in that. I think we all get some questions when things start to even begin to be just a tad bit different than we thought. But we can be comforted in seeing that throughout this psalm, the psalmist asked God questions. He didn't scale him back and try to pretend like he didn't have any. No, he actively asked God questions, and he asked God questions of God's promises. And so, is it okay to ask God questions? Yes. Why? Because God is all-knowing, and he's your creator. God knows every single thought that you have before you ever thought it. He also knows every single feeling that you have before you even know. This falls. Shh, don't tell nobody. He formed you, it says in Psalm 139. He knows all of these things before you even know them. He knows you better than you know yourself. And so you don't have to fake it when you go to him. You don't got to pretend like you got it all together. You can go to him with your questions because he already knows and wants you to come to him. And so I mentioned that in April 2015, I became a believer. And then in May 2015, I had my first loss of a loved one, and it was hard. And so it was my niece. She was born May 2014, she was born, and she was born 23 weeks early, and she fought. She spent 285 days in the NICU and then ended up being able to come home, and it was a joyous occasion, and we were so excited, and so we decided to throw her a one-year birthday, and I ended up watching her on her first birthday pass away, and it was hard. Her little body had given out, and I remember as the ambulance came, I'm a new believer. I'm down on my knees because that's all I know. I don't really know much because I just don't know much. And I am crying. And I'm like, God, I know you can change this. I know you can do something different. I know you're bigger. I know you're big. I don't know how big yet, but I know you're big. And I know you can do this. And then he answered differently with her passing away. And I remember running out and falling on my knees at the hospital and just crying out, why, God? Why? Why now? Why on this day? Why my family? Why us? And then the weeks that followed, those whys and those questions continued to happen. And guess what? When I asked him, God was faithful to answer with comfort, peace, and even little moments and glimpses of joy in the midst of it. It was hard. Me asking questions, like I said, he didn't answer in the way that I would have wanted him to, but he still showed up with me through the suffering that came and followed. The sorrow, the pain, the hurt, man, the anger. I was angry. He didn't run away from me. He leaned in close. Because I was brokenhearted, and he was the good God that answers and is faithful to keep his promises. And so, time that followed, I continued to have to journal. That's my way of kind of staying grounded in what I'm feeling, because unless I journal, I keep running, I keep moving. And journaling equates to time being still for me. Time to actually feel and think about where I'm at. And that could be helpful for you. I got to go through Grief Share, as I mentioned earlier, and was able to just learn that God still is good. I got to learn about who God was and cling to that as I struggled with all of the questions. And while for me, that season didn't look perfect at all, I'm going to be honest with you. There was different things that I leaned on at times. God didn't run away from me every time I leaned on something like food. That's the way we can cope. Binge watching TV or reading books as I would do. He didn't run away. He allowed me to ask those questions. And he continued to lean into me. And he'll do the same for you. And so, do you ask God to follow through on his promises? Do you pray that big prayer that I prayed? God, please don't let this happen to Kyla. Please don't let this happen to Kyla. Or maybe yours might be, God, please restore my marriage. God, please allow me to conceive. God, please bring me a job. God, please make me rich. I hope that's not your prayer, but rich with you, of course. Do you actually ask for the desires and the relief that you want and desire in the midst of suffering? Or are you afraid to pray for your desires or relief because you're fearful his answer will be different than what you want? Or you will be disappointed by the outcome? Or you think he can't make it happen? You don't think that he can change that broken relationship? You don't think that he can restore your health and completely heal you from cancer on this side of eternity? Man, wrestle with that. Cry out to him even in those doubts. He's not afraid of your questions. He wants you to come to him. He's already aware of them. He knows them. So don't try to hide them. And so if it's okay to be honest about your feelings and okay to be honest about your questions with God, is it okay to pray over and over and over and over again for the same thing? I would say yes. In verse 1, it says, day and night I cry out. In verse 9, it says, I call to you, Lord, every day. In verse 13, it says, in the morning, my prayer comes before you. In the morning, during the day, in the night. I think that covers all day. Morning, day, night. This psalmist, this isn't their first time with this prayer or this song or psalm. No, he's prayed it multiple times before. And so why can he pray the same prayer over and over again? Or why can we pray the same prayer over and over again? Because God doesn't grow tired of us coming to him. God doesn't grow tired of us crying out to him. He is a patient and kind and compassionate God who loves us and wants us to make our requests known to him. He doesn't get frustrated by us coming, because I know, like, if somebody comes to me, like, more than once, I get a little frustrated. I'm like, I just told you that 5 minutes ago. Why are you coming to me again? No, he doesn't get frustrated by that. No, he continues to lean in close and allow you to come. And guess what he does? He listens. He hears you. And so, in 2016, my aunt was diagnosed with cancer. And she went through chemo and ended up going into remission. And we were excited and glad and celebrating. And then about a year later, they had found another lump. And a few months later, it was stage 4, and it had been spread into her bones. And they gave her a terminal diagnosis. And during that time, my prayer was always, Lord, heal my aunt. And this was my aunt that had raised me. And God didn't grow tired of me asking for her to be completely healed. didn't run away from me. I prayed that prayer over and over and over and over again for a year and a half until she passed away. And in the midst of those prayers, the Lord just kept coming with more comfort and more peace, despite the pain that I was experiencing as I watched her fade away. And it wasn't easy. And maybe yours looks slightly different. Maybe you've been praying for a spouse for a long time, for however old you are. Or maybe you've been praying for, your friend that you've watched suffer. Maybe they have a terminal illness similar to my aunt's, and you've been praying and asking the Lord for relief. Or maybe you've been praying for a job just over the last couple of weeks, and you feel as if God is silent and he does not hear you. Have you stopped going to him? Does that mean that we stop because we feel as if he doesn't answer or as if he's silent? No. We can go to him and be honest about our feelings and share our questions and our thoughts with him over and over and over again because he wants us to, and he's faithful to listen and hear them and respond with his promises to us if only we go to him and ask. And so in the midst of your suffering, do you cry out to the Lord? Do you pray without ceasing? Or do you fake having it all together and not needing, or that you acting as if you don't need anything? Do you think about the situation or the possibilities more than you actually pray about it? And what I mean by that is we can sit in our beds late at night and just let the thoughts go, but there's something active about prayer, where we actively acknowledge that we are going before our God that loves us, that cares for us, and hears us. It's not just, oh man, is this happening? Why this? Oh my gosh, like, what do I do? No. It is a, man, I'm going before his throne. I get to go before my God and make my request known. Thank God, this is hard and it sucks and I want relief. God, please give me relief. Let your mercy pour out over me that I might praise you as I once did before, or as the psalmist did. I'm struggling. I can't. It's hard. Another one is we could talk to people about it more than we actually pray about it. Maybe you've told 15 people about your loss of a job and how you're struggling in it, and yet you haven't made that request known to God that you really want a job, or you really want that child, or you really want that relationship restored. Does doing any of those things make you a bad person? No. I think we're all capable of it. I know myself. I've done it. Hence why I was able to share with you. It's because I've done those things where I let the thoughts overcome me and slowly found myself in places where I was having anxiety attacks or panic attacks because I was not going to the Lord with it. And does that mean because you have an anxiety attack or a panic attack, that means that you aren't going to the Lord? No, I want to be very clear. That's not what I'm saying. That's just where it led me. And in the midst of those panic attacks and anxiety attacks, I didn't trust the Lord even in those. I tried to be self-sufficient and fix them on my own because that's what I like to do. But no, we can cry out to him. We can turn to him and be real about where we are, how we're feeling, what we're thinking, making our requests known, making our questions known over and over and over again. And so it's okay to be honest about your feelings. It's okay to ask God questions. It's okay to pray for relief over and over again about your current circumstances. And so I want to take us back to my initial questions about what if I'm struggling to lament like the psalmist did? Does that make me a bad Christian? Does it mean God is upset with me? No, it doesn't. Do y'all know we have a Savior that suffered for us? He suffered on our behalf. And every time I think about it, it makes me cry because I know what my suffering has felt like, and he suffered so much more on our behalf. He came and he lived the life that we could not live, which was perfect without sin. He was mocked, he was ridiculed, he was beaten, he was hung on a cross, suffering, dying the death that our sin bought. And why did he do that? Because he's a loving, loving, and through that death that he died, and his rising on the third day to overcome death, he allowed us to be in relationship with God if only we believe that he was who he proclaimed to be all throughout his life here on earth and all throughout creation. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I'm gonna read it one more time. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Those are the words of Jesus just before he went and died that death that he didn't deserve. Man, he tells us we're going to have trouble, but he also tells us that we can take heart. Why? Because he has already suffered for us, which is so sweet and kind. And we get to go to him in the midst of our suffering, letting him know where we are with it, being honest about our feelings, being honest about our questions, over and over and over again. And he then responds every time, no matter what the situation is, with this: take heart. I have overcome this. This is but a moment. This is but a glimpse. You do not have to lose heart for these light and momentary troubles on this earth. Light and momentary troubles on this earth are not forever. They are producing in us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we can fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary. So what we're experiencing here, what we see on the outside, but also what we're experiencing is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. And so if we believe that Jesus really is who he said that he is and that he died the death that we deserve to defeat death, then we get to look to eternity. We get to be reminded by remembering the cross that in the midst of our suffering, it is but a moment. It is a far cry from what eternity is. But even so, in the current, God is still who he said he is. He is still faithful. He is still comforter. He's still provider. And so when I first became a believer, one of the things I started to do was, as I read through the Bible, and I started to write down different things that God was. So this is still my original sheet from beginning in June 2015. And I've slowly added, but every time I look at this sheet, I could literally go down the list and tell you about how God showed up in my life in that way. How he showed me that that was who he was. How his promises and his truths that he left for us and here came true or were true in the way he showed up in my life. And so, friends, family, ladies, as you walk through this life, which is full of guaranteed trouble, suffering, it could be a momentary, like one day suffering. It could be years and years and year long suffering in regards to just one thing. It could be a multitude of things pressing down on you. You can trust that God is good. You can trust that he's faithful. You can trust that he loves you. He cares about you. He wants you to come to him with all of your feelings, your thoughts, your questions. Because even in doing that, you're acknowledging that he is who he says that he is. And so you can cry out without being able to turn your praise to God, knowing that he still listens, he still cares. And one of the things that I got to learn through doing that was that in the midst of my inability to turn to praise to God, when I was vulnerable with others, they got to do it on my behalf. They got to cry out on my behalf, asking the Lord to extend me some mercy that I might turn to praise him the way that they knew I had done before. It's an opportunity for others to be invited in and on our behalf go to the Lord, knowing that he is good, knowing that he's faithful, knowing that he answers, even when we can't do it ourselves. So ladies, man, I wish we didn't have suffering. I really do. But we do. But I know that in our suffering and in our sorrow and in our grief and our troubles and in our hardships, God shows up. So let me pray for you. God, you're perfect. You're a good father, you're a provider, you're a comforter, you're a savior, you're a peacemaker, you're rest, you're lover, you're graceful, you're merciful, you're our ultimate judge, you're almighty, you're powerful, you're our firm foundation, you're our reminder, you're our creator, you're our author, you're our light, your life, you're enough, your friend, you're everything, your truth, you're the way, you're a healer, you're joy, you're gentle, you're patient, you're kind, you're humble, you're faithful, you're never changing, you're unfailing, you're constant, you're all-knowing, you're a mender, you're a rescuer, you're safety, you're glorious, you're divine, you're the rock, your stronghold, your salvation, your helper. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. God, we need you. So desperately we need you. This is hard. Living in this world is hard. But we thank you that you allow us to come before you in full transparency, giving you our feelings, our thoughts, handing over our circumstances and our desires over and over again, and you show us that you are still who you say that you are. You still respond by listening and comforting and providing us with peace. And so, Lord, I pray for my friends in this room that might be struggling to believe that. that it has just been too hard. I pray that you would show your mercy on them, that they might have relief to be reminded of who you have always been and who you will always be. And I pray for my friends that don't yet know you, that don't know that Jesus truly lived the life that we could not live and died the death that we all deserved, and that it was all because of our sin, our choice not to choose you, that that death happened. And that forgiveness is being extended to them. They're not defined by their guilt, by their sins. They do not have to live in guilt and shame. But they can walk in freedom, knowing that the price has already been paid, and it is not of themselves. It is only by your grace, which is freely given to us. Lord, I pray that you would make that known, soften their hearts, open their minds, open their eyes, open their ears to see, know, and love you more through that. And Lord, I pray for all of our friends that are not in the room, that we are watching suffer. I pray that they would continue to be strengthened in their faith. I pray that all of us would take heart, knowing that this is but a moment, and that if we believe, that your faithful promises truly are always there. We're not in it alone. We can take heart, knowing that you have already overcome it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And so you should have gotten a little sheet that has some questions on it. And feel free to just spend some time at your tables talking through those. And most of all, just want to thank y'all for giving me the opportunity, man, to just share the story of grace that God has given me. That isn't easy, but it's been worth it to trust him in the midst of it. So, man, hold fast, friends. He's got you.
Thanks, Leslie. That prayer was, that prayer gave me goosebumps as she read through that list. I don't know about y'all. It was incredible. Thank you. I forgot to tell y'all, your table leaders have colored dots on their name tag. And so if you're at a table without one, just scoot on over to a table with one. And also, if you only have two or three people at your table, feel free to combine just for a better discussion. And so I'll be up around noon to dismiss y'all, but chat away.